Russ up to speak. Russ, if you don't know, was the minister of HBC, Hall Baptist Church, many years ago, I believe, before Andy Glover. And I don't know Russ too well, but I've heard lots about you, Russ, and it's all good. what I've heard is that Russ is a man who hears from God and just shares that with us. So I'm excited this morning, and thank you for coming and being with us here. Russ is actually a member, and Leslie, his wife, are members of HBC, aren't you? But you have a ministry that goes around encouraging other churches and other leaders. So it's great that you're here with us this morning. Can I pray for you? Jesus, I thank you for Russ. I thank you for this man of God. And I pray this morning, as he is prepared and he's heard from you, that you would open up our hearts, that we would just be in the right place to hear what you're going to say to us this morning, Jesus, through this man, Russ. Bless us, God, I pray. Give us those ears to hear. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Amen. Over to you.
Thank you, Ed. Good morning. My thanks to Shirley and to Ed for their welcome. It may be that Leslie and I being here today have solved a mystery for you. If you're a regular reader of the notices, you may think, who is Russ and Leslie that appear in the notices every week? Well, as Ed has said, I came here as minister in 1977. We started to travel quite extensively in 85, and I suppose have been traveling ever since to some degree or other. We always wanted to work out of our local church, which is what we still do. So if you look at the website, you'll see we're one of the national partners serving churches and leaders in the UK and also particularly in Hungary. And some of you have been with us to see the work in Hungary that we're doing. Now, if you don't understand the word apostolic in the notices, then come and see me afterwards and I'll give you a brief resume of what that means in relation to our ministry. We also have quite a lot of people who come to our home. We have a small retreat center, so as well as traveling to other places, people come to us. So in the last week, we've had a couple of people from Coventry, and we've had a URC minister from Leeds this week. And we've also had our great friend Bev Thomas, which some of you will know. And she's going to share later on as well, as is Leslie, my wife. So I'll say something more about Bev a bit later for those of you who don't know her. So if you have a Bible, an iPad, a phone, whatever it is, I would like you to access your Word of God. And I want you to go to Deuteronomy, please, and to the very beginning, to chapter 1. Now, I know, Fran, that this is going to appear on the website. And aren't you responsible? Or who's responsible? Oh, that Fran. Fran Ralph. Okay, not Fran Bird. Okay. So this is going to have a title. Okay. And the title is going to be God is... dot, 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 in this season. And the idea of having that blank is that you can put one of the words that I'm going to draw your attention to this morning in that for you. And I know some people are not here and they're going to be listening to it during the week, so they'll be able to put that in as well. So one of the things that I've been hearing from the Lord over the last few months is that we need to understand something about the season that we're in. Now, our seasons can vary greatly. So some of you may be having a wonderful time in this particular season, and some of you may be having a hell of a time in this particular season. For some of you, it may be really easy. For others of you, it may be really difficult. It doesn't really matter what the season is, because the thing that I have to draw attention to you this morning is not the season, but God is to you in that season. It's very easy, isn't it, for us to get focused, to get caught up in what's happening or what's not happening or what we don't understand or what we do understand. But the most important thing I believe I'm hearing from God over the last few months is that we need to understand who God is to us in this season. Now, I do believe that this is not just a word for individuals. I do believe it's a word for the church. And so a few months ago, I said to Andy that I believe the Lord had given me a word for the church. I shared it with him when we had our meeting in November. For those of you who might not know, Andy and I still meet regularly. And he felt that it was appropriate for the season that we were in. And so I asked for an opportunity to be able to come and share this at the church, because some of you know we're not here very often. And so this was the date that was chosen. So it's at the beginning of the year. It may relate back to last year. I hope it will be relevant to some of you who probably by the end of this year are going to be in a very different place. Not only a different place spiritually, but a different place geographically. Is that not true for some of you? Yes? Okay. So, in Deuteronomy, if you don't know the book, Moses is basically recapping on some of the things that have happened during the 40 years in the wilderness, but also recapping on some of the things that God has said. And they're about to enter into a very different season, if you know your Bible, because Moses has been leading them for the previous 40 years, but he is not going to lead them into the next season. That will be done by Joshua. Moses will die before he even enters the promised land, though he will have seen it from afar. But Moses' job is to get the people ready. And so what he does is to remind them of things that will put the future in perspective. So it's God who puts things in perspective. And he's doing that even before they get into this next season, which is about receiving what they've been promised for such a long time, and that is the land of Canaan. And I'm sure if you're familiar with the Bible, you'll know that that's not going to be necessarily a very easy task, because God's not going to hand anything over to them, as he never does to us, on a plate. But he involves us personally and he involves us corporately in what's going on. And in terms of the missional communities as well, the big changes here. Some of you, I've spoken to many of you, some of you know that you're finding that's easy and straightforward and it's where you want to be. And others of you are struggling with it. You don't want to be there. Others of you don't like the expression of it. Bye-bye, Mark. So I understand all of that, but it's God who puts things in perspective. So, chapter 1 of Deuteronomy and verse 29. Then I said to you, do not be terrified, do not be afraid of them. This is the land with the giants and the walls that reach the ceilings. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes and in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. So the first thing that I want to draw attention to is the parenting of God. The parenting of you and me and the church during this season, whatever the season is like. And we need to reflect on the parenting of God over the years in order to understand more of how God will parent us in this current season. So we do need opportunity, we do need time for reflection. Because this scripture says to us, there you saw how the Lord your God carried you. Doesn't mean he's not carrying you any longer, but the reflection is to seek to understand how God has parented you. So in many ways, he will have parented you as a father, but he may have parented you as a mother. He may have parented you as a nurse, because that's one of Paul's descriptions to the Thessalonians. And so you and I, in our reflection, need to understand how has God been to us. Now, one of the ways in which I reflect on the parenting of God in my life is that I keep coming back to the fact that God is my shepherd. And that's something that's been dominant in my life over the years. I reflect on how has God shepherded me. Now, one of the things I keep on my desk in my study is a picture of a shepherd with some sheep. You can pass it around if you want to just look at it. Some of you might tell me that it's the end of a day. Some of you might tell me it's the beginning of a day. I'm not sure which it is. There's a mist that's coming down, but the shepherd is looking over the sheep and keeping an eye on them. And I just have that sense, as I can reflect on my life, not because I'm old now, but I've reflected on this for a long, long time, is that God's always shepherded me. I've done a variety of things. I haven't always been a Baptist minister, but I found that God has shepherded me into interesting places. Some of you will know that I've been a dancer. I was one of only 10 men teaching infants in the 1960s. I've been a dustman. I've been a postman. I've done lots of interesting things. I've been followed by the KGB and escaped to tell the tale. So there have been very interesting things. There are times when I have done silly things. I've been stupid. There are times when I've sinned and I've fallen short of God. But God has always, because my heart wanted to follow him and wanted to serve him, God has always shepherded me. And that's an important image to me. But you may say, well, I don't relate to that. So let me just give you another one as an example, and then you can find one of your own as you reflect on God. I think the I am sayings are very helpful. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, I know that some of you make a terrible mess of things sometimes. Having been around for a long time, I could write some wonderful stories, really, in a book about how God has rescued and redeemed you. I know some of you thought, it's over, it's finished, I'm dead in the ground, I'm in the muck, I'm in the mess, I can't get out of this. And then Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Out of nowhere, out of nothing, out of the mess, out of the miry clay, says David, out of the bog, he set my feet on a rock. So you might want to think in that area of Jesus as the resurrection and the life, your rescuer, if that's helpful to you as you reflect on the parenting of God. It's for you to choose one, but it's for you to choose one that you can relate to so that as you reflect, you will understand more of sometimes why God has been to you what he has been and what he will continue to be as well, and that is your parent. So that's the first thought. If you'd like to go to chapter 2, we're just going to pick up a phrase in chapter 2 which has the heading in verse 24, the defeat of Sihon king of Heshbon. Now there are lots I could have picked up here, but it says here that set out now and cross the Arnon Gorge. See, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his country. Begin to take possession of it and engage him in battle. So I think that from God's perspective, God wants us to possess things in his name. Now, for them, it was land, it was territory, it was towns, it was cities, it was those sort of things. Well, that's not for us. But I still believe that there is a sense in which you and I have to get to a place where we possess in God, for God, that which has our name on it. And that it's important not just for us to lay back. You will notice here that the verbs are active. Set out now and cross. So it's not about you just laying in bed or laying in your recliner chair or laying on your sun lounge or wherever it is in Mallorca. It's about you and I having to be active in order to possess those things which God has for us. And there are questions to be asked there of us to the Lord. What is it? So I'm going to give you a simple acrostic, A-C-T-S. So you can act and do actions. Not literally. So the first one is, I think you need to possess your anointing, and your anointing needs to possess you. So what is your anointing about? It is about the Holy Spirit in you, but what is the Holy Spirit in you for? That's really important for us to understand. There are some things I refuse without praying or seeking the Lord. Now, if that surprises you, it's because I do that because I understand God's anointing upon my life with my wife, Leslie. And so we move in that. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't do some things. You know, I had this amazing ability when I was in my first church in Mountain Ash to repair tellies. But I would never have been in competition with Mark Lloyd. All right? I would just go and I might pray on my way, and they would say the telly's not working, and the telly would work. Okay? It was due to the anointing, not to any skill that I had. And I wouldn't have set up in business. But it was just part and parcel of my life. So I'm not saying you can't put the dustbins out, or you haven't got to do the recycling tonight, guys, or whatever it is, because you don't feel an anointing to do it. Okay? But the thing is really that we need to understand our anointing, because the anointing makes room for us. And we need to understand tomorrow, when you go to work, or when you go to, where is it, Moira works? Do you know where Moira works now? Waitrose, have you been in there and then sort of move some of the shelves around for her so that she can, all right? We need to understand what the anointing is in the context where God has placed us, if we believe he's placed us there. The second one is, I believe that it's really important for us as well to have confidence. The Bible tells us that we can approach confidently towards God. So I think we need to have that confidence to say, Lord, the first one, the anointing, what have you put in my hand? And now what do you want me to use with what you've put in my hand? Have you noticed with Moses that Moses has had something in his hand for 40 years, and then God says to him, there's a new season coming, and Moses is not at all confident, and God says to him, what have you got in your hand? And he's got a staff, and that staff now is about to change its job description and to be used in another way. And Moses is constantly battling confidence. Well, I'm not very good at speaking. I think he was saying, actually, my Egyptian has got a bit rusty over the 40 years that I was in the desert. Because when I lived for 40 years in Egypt, my language was really good. But now it's difficult. And you and I will make all sorts of excuses. And God will get angry as he did with Moses, because Moses wasn't prepared to have confidence in what God had called him to do. So the anointing is about you and I having confidence in God that tomorrow something's going to happen, because the anointing makes room. So I'm saying to you, are you ready for tomorrow? Because that's the challenge. I'm out very early with Leslie tomorrow morning to take her to a station and go back down to her mum's. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm ready. I'm ready. I've had some really interesting conversations with Microsoft people online over the last few days. I was ready. I didn't know, but I was ready. The T stands for trustworthiness. I believe that we need to prove ourselves to our colleagues at work, to our neighbors, to our friends, to our brothers and sisters, that we are trustworthy. That God can entrust something to you and I, and we will carry it to its place, that we will handle it carefully, responsibly, whatever it is, whether it's a possession, as it were, a physical thing, or whether it's something else, a promise or a confidence in terms of something we're talking about, that we are trustworthy so that people can come to us and out of blue say to us, well, yeah, I've noticed you. You know, you're very faithful at what you do. You're very conscientious at what you do. You're just there. Yeah, I want to share because I find that you're trustworthy. I need to keep moving on here. And the S I've put down as surrender. The reason I put surrender down is because in the seasons that we're in, things don't generally go the way you expect. Have you noticed, really, that we're supposed to be in winter? But we have primroses and trees budding and blossoming in our garden. And it's not supposed to be like that. It's not supposed to be like that. But what do? We can either fight against it, or we can say, okay, it might be global warming, it might not be, but it doesn't matter. But we look after things in that sense, really. Father, you know what you're doing. Oh, there are times when I say to God, I don't know what you're doing, and I don't want to do what you're doing. But there has to come a point at some point where I have to surrender and say, okay, this is the way. And I think that's part of this season. You have to surrender. I'm going to be very personal at this moment, and I'm going to give the person the opportunity, if they want, to decline being personal. But I was here the Sunday before Christmas, and I knew something was stirring for someone, but it wasn't the right time to give it. I felt it stirring again when I saw this person in the room, and I'm going to give them the opportunity. So, Denise, I've had something stirring for you. I don't know you. We never met. God didn't magically give me your name. I asked who you were, so you know. Do you want me to share it privately with you, or do you want me to share what I want to say publicly? No. Okay. All right. So I've never met this lady before, though I've seen her, obviously, a few times. Now, the word that I have has a sense of the season that you're in, which I don't think is particularly easy or straightforward. In fact, you might describe it as hard, difficult, uncomfortable. All right. I just want you to know, so I'm being honest, that I did speak with Fran Bird because I just wanted to be aware of you in case, you know, we needed to talk privately. So that's confirmed by Fran without details, all right? Stand up a minute. I'm not going to do anything with you, so don't worry, okay? Now, whatever's going on in Denise's life, and I don't know, and I'm not going to make you do anything hard, so don't worry about it, there's a stance that Denise needs to adopt. Now, it's very easy when you and I are in difficult seasons for us to bow down, to be bowed down by the circumstances, the events of life. That's almost natural. But we need to ask God, what's my posture during this time? And some of you will know that in God our posture is to kneel. Sometimes it's our posture to lay flat down on our tummies. Sometimes it's to lie on our backs. So there's any sorts of posture. But the one I felt for you is, you need to get on tiptoe. Okay, now, the being on tiptoe is almost, well, I want to see what's coming. And believe it or not, in Romans 8, Paul says that creation is on tiptoe because it's looking at the church to see what happens, and it's also looking to its future to see what's going to happen to it. So your stance is not to be bowed down by whatever's going on. Your stance is to be on tiptoe and get a better view. All right? Okay. So, that's it. Not too bad, was it? Okay. Now, the third one then is in chapter 9. Now, read this passage from verse 1, just a few verses, chapter 9. Hear, O Israel, you are now about to cross the Jordan to go in to dispossess nations greater and stronger than you, with large cities that have walls up to the sky. The people are strong and tall Anakites. You know about them. You've heard it said, who can stand up against the Anakites? Now, all of that is true in the natural. But now God's about to speak something spiritual into that situation. But be assured today that the Lord your God is the one who goes across ahead of you. And my P word for that is that God is preparing. God never asks you to go anywhere that he hasn't already gone before and prepared. Now, you may think that's very hard to believe with some of the things that you've been through, some of the things that you're seeing, you know, in the world happening in Syria and other places. And I don't profess to understand all of that, but out of my theology of what I believe about God in this difficult season for them, I say to Lord, you have gone before them, prepare a meal, prepare some water, prepare some person, is I ask God to be what God says he will be here. Doesn't matter how difficult the obstacles, how big the obstacles are, God goes before you, before me, before us as a church. He is the one who prepares the way in the season. So whatever you're going through, however easy or difficult you find, give thanks that God has actually been there before you and prepared the way. If you don't know this old song, I suggest you look it up on YouTube today. It's, I think his name is Daniel Moyne, and it's God Will Make a Way Where There Is No Other Way. It's a great song, and it's one that you need to have in your spiritual library, not just on your Amazon Music library. Because it's a song you need to come back to and remember that God is always preparing a way where there is no way. And that's exactly what God does. That's the God that we worship and we adore. Now, Leslie's, my wife, is going to come and share for a few minutes the season that she's in and something of what's involved in preparing for that season and the season she's in now.
Thanks, Russ. As some of you will know, that I have been for about 4 or 5 years on the national staff team of Acorn Christian Healing Foundation, with a responsibility for the northwest of England and for the northern half of Wales. And within that responsibility came a lot of administration, a lot of course writing, a lot of training, and a fair bit of travelling. Now, I feel that change has been part of my life, as this year now I've stepped down from that. But to put it into context, I have been through a massive amount of change over the last 2 years, as we've had a new director who has re-envisioned Acorn, and we've been through a huge transition. Now, anyone who's been through transition will know, or any of you who are going through it are finding out, that it's change within change. You get so far and you think, time to breathe, and you're on to the next thing. And you start to try and breathe again, and you're on to the next thing. And it's felt during that time a little bit like, you know, the disciples were out on the water and they were in a bit of a gale, and Jesus came walking to the boat. Now, they were terrified, but okay, that's fine. Peter really wanted to get out of the boat as well and join Jesus. And he did fine until he took his eyes off the Lord and looked again at the waves and felt the wind. And it's felt a bit like that. Wes Sutton, who's an ex-Vineyard pastor, singer-songwriter, is keen to go for it. And he was surrounded by a team, including me, that were very keen always to get out of the boat. But we constantly felt as if there were winds and waves buffeting us. And it was so important to keep our eyes on Jesus, not only on getting to see the transition through and get partway to the vision that he was leading us into. Very important to keep our eyes on Jesus so we didn't sink. Now, the big change has come in a sense that I have now stepped down from that from the end of last year. And so released from all that major responsibility, the plan was to focus on, for the next 6 months, on being available for training and establishing the new courses that have been written, and also for a workshop which is useful for churches who are waiting for a new minister to come, called Mind the Gap. I must plug that one because I've been involved in writing it. And so the plan is to focus on that. But I'm very aware of the verse in Proverbs, and it's chapter 16, verse 9, if you wanted to find it. In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord directs his steps. And though the plan has been to focus on these things, courses and training, we'll have to see how the next 6 months pans out, because my mother was diagnosed with lymphoma towards the end of last year, which is going to mean that she's coming to the end of the first 6 cycles of chemotherapy. She's 88 and doing remarkably well. We'll have the results of her first scan tomorrow, so we'll see exactly what's going on. But to be honest, I have no idea, in fact, what the next 6 months is going to mean. So I planned a course. We planned it together, discussed it with Acorn and the director, but God will direct my steps, and I'm sure I'll need it in the coming 6 months.
So Leslie's sort of down in Southampton almost every other week now. I've said to some people, you can get to the space station quicker than you can get to Southampton by train, which is actually true. But if you fancy a quick drive with me, I can get there before you get to the space station. All right, okay, time's moving on. Let's keep going. There's another phrase in chapter 9, and that verse that I want to draw your attention to. Be assured today that the Lord your God is the one who goes across ahead of you like a devouring fire. Now, I'm going to use the word paraclete, which is the name of the Holy Spirit, one of his names. It means one called alongside. And I want you to be aware, if you don't know really, that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit accompanied the people out of Egypt and through the desert. And then something changed as they went into Canaan. So you will know, those of you who read your Bibles, that there was a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. That is a representation of the Holy Spirit. So every day there was a representation of the Holy Spirit being with them in their journey. And that would cease in that form and in that shape once they entered the land. But God says to you here, I will still be a devouring fire. Right, now, apart from those of you who have talked to me about this theme, what are fire ephemerals? What are fire ephemerals? Well, you can Google it later. In places where there has been a devastating fire and everything has been razed to the ground, probably within a week or 10 days later, flowers will appear. They have been waiting for the fire to devastate the land in order to appear. And I believe sometimes that God's devastating fire in our lives, which burns things away, is so that the seeds of those flowers will be able to germinate afterwards, and they will be dotted across this ravaged, burnt land, but these flowers will be there. And if you Google them, you will see the variety that there is, because that's who God is. So when he produces flowers in your life, you're going to be glad that they're not the same flowers that I've got. You've got your own flowers from God. But unless the Holy Spirit comes as a fire, those flowers won't appear. Now, when I was a young Christian, they taught me in church that there was a baptism in water, And I went through that. They taught me there was a baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I would exercise spiritual gifts and speak in tongues, and I do. But there was also a baptism of fire. And we hear very little preaching these days about the baptism of fire. And I think you and I need to become acquainted with that, because our God is a consuming fire. And we need to understand that the fire is actually not to destroy us, but to refine us and to purify us and to bring the flowers that we would never see on the land if the devastating fire did not take place. Are you with me? So look up fire ephemerals to encourage yourself that in this season, whatever it's like, actually, if you're in a fire season and the paraclete is to you, not as a comforter, he's actually uncomfortable at times. But whatever he's doing is actually to produce this beauty. And that can only come forth in that way. Now, my good friend Bev Thomas is here today. Some of you will know her. We have been friends since 1988. I met her because she was at Theological College with Andy Glover. And our friendship has continued through all those years. We're often together, and you've seen her here on many times as well. And Bev has been through, I think, a lot of fires over the years, some of it to do with her color, some of it to do with her being a woman, others really who struggle because they're racist, others because they find Bev too challenging and reject her. So she's had many different sorts of fires, but she's going to come and just update you a little bit now. Yes?
Good morning. Because of the time, I'm just going to be very brief and give you a sort of quick tour. Okay. One of the things that has challenged me is that I've had to move back to the Black Country because one of my younger sister had a life-threatening brain tumor. And I moved back 8 years ago to help to support her. She's well and working, but sometimes it's just very unwell. And recently she started to have headaches again. And we understand that she needs an operation. So if you remember, could you keep her in your prayers? So I had to lay down quite a lot of the work that I did for about 18 months. But in 2010, I got an opportunity to go to Germany by invitation of the Lutheran Church to have a look at right-wing extremism in that country and what the church was doing to help to challenge. 5 years later, I spend 3 or 4 months in Germany each year now, working with their synod and with their churches, and especially with the new challenges that we have in Europe, working through courses on diversity, equality, social justice, how you treat the stranger, etc., etc. And I'm off there next month, February, for a month with them, working across Germany with different church groups in understanding social justice from the Bible. And lastly, one of the blessings that I've had is I got accepted to do a professional doctorate at Anglia Ruskin University in Cambridge. And basically I'm going to be looking at theology and the whole concept of race and how we perceive the social construct and how we treat one another based on what we think we see. So one of the blessings that came out of that was that 6 weeks after starting the course, somebody I'd met last year for literally 15 minutes heard what I was doing and asked how I could help, how he could help. And I suggested that there were lots of things that were burdensome, but one of the things was I needed to find my course fee. And within 2 days, it was paid. So thank the Lord for that.
Thank you, Bev. Just for you to be aware that for a number of years, we explored together whether Bev should move and be in this area. And as we were doing that, it became clearer that that wasn't going to happen. And almost at the same time, because sometimes we're moving towards something we think it's going to happen and then it doesn't, at the same time, then Germany began to open in a very real and full way for Bev. So again, it's just for you and I to be aware that the Holy Spirit taking us through things is actually taking us through things to produce something fresh, something new, and something beautiful. And what Bev is involved in there is all of that. And some of you may choose you want to talk with her, explore a bit more, see what's what. Because I'm going to finish now. There are, at the end of that verse in chapter 9, you'll see really that little section. There's another P, and it's called promises, as the Lord has promised. Now, I'm not going to go into those, but can I say to you that there is great value in you and I reflecting on the personal promises of God to us. Now, I've never believed, I'm sorry if I offend you, some of you, but this will date some of you as well as it dates me, is that some of you remember there used to be promise boxes. And you could just put your hand in a promise box and pick up a piece of paper, and it would be a promise, and then you would say, oh, well, that's my promise from God today. I don't believe that. I believe that you and I need to reflect on actually what God has spoken to us personally, prophetically, individually, through someone who's prophesied over you or said, I have this for you today, you test it. And I believe that's really important that we do that, because Paul says to Timothy, you can't fight the good fight unless you take hold of the promises and the prophecies that you have received. So in this season, we are required to remember. Now you're going to say to me, I don't remember. Well, sorry, but Jesus said to his disciples, I will help you to remember what I have said to you. All right, no excuse. So you can't say to God when you face him one day, I just couldn't remember. Okay, so just take time to reflect on those things. Because the Paraclete is the one who is called alongside us, what I want to say to you today is if you want to receive prayer, if you just want to sit and let someone listen to you, as Leslie is a trained listener, if you want someone to prophesy over you in the midst of this season, so that someone will walk with you, or you just want to say to somebody that's behind you or in front of you, look, I'm going through this, walk with me as well as the Holy Spirit walking with me, then I think today is the day to take advantage of that. Today is a day of grace and a day of salvation. Take the opportunity. So God is ... in this season, and you need to put the word in that applies to you. It doesn't have to be the letter P. You can choose whatever word you want. Let's pray together for a moment. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. For those for whom it's relevant today, it will be our daily bread, and we'll be able to feast on it and to feed on it, and it will sustain us. For those, Lord, whom they don't think it's appropriate, oh Lord, I don't know what the equivalent is of us putting the bread in the freezer for a few days or a few weeks or a few months, but give us a spiritual equivalent where we just put it to one side because we know we're going to come back to it at some point in the future. So may you continue to bless us and to minister to us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for that. Can I get the worship team up? Can you guys come down? And
can I have my picture back?
Yeah, don't take that. Oh, there we go. And on that as well, just some of the things that Russ has said this morning, maybe they just really spoke to you. Maybe something particularly just jumped out and grabbed your attention, and maybe that's just God just going, that's where we need to journey together. Just as the guys, if you just start to play, I just want to give us a few moments just to reflect, just to be still. And then maybe if you want someone to pray with you, then we'll definitely do that. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love people in the congregation, love praying with others and stuff. So let's just take a moment just to think on what Russ has said. What's really hit home for you? Just take a moment just to grab hold of that, just for a second.